Okay, let's begin our discussion of this year's Haggadah. Haggadah is always the same. Haggadah Tavshin Ayin Beis, but we try to add new insights each year, as we usually do it. We start from the beginning, and we try to go through the Haggadah, giving different thoughts on every paragraph, as much as we have time for. You have in front of you, I think everything in the packet is new except for one thought. It's a repeat from 8 years ago. Those might remember, back by popular demand, one thought on Karpas, as we will see. But other than that, hopefully there's new insights that we have not discussed yet. By way of introduction, you have on the first page, it's really a Kadesh thought as well. Again, I'll try to stick to what's in front of us. I'll try to throw in ideas that we have mentioned in the past, Derech Agav, but I'll try to, for the most part, to stick to the text. Rav Dessler writes in his Haggadah, B'derech HaOlam, page 1. Hadam Sameach Baharbos Hon. Let's say somebody finds out that they won the lottery. It's a big lottery. Won the lottery. Oh, they're very happy. Very happy. Let's say somebody finds out the next day that they won the lottery again. Oh, even more simcha. And then the next day, each day, they feel like they won and they got something and they were zoche. Every day the simcha is greater. Every day I'm more happy. I'm more besimcha. Let's say somebody finds out that their neighbor won the lottery. The first day, you're very happy for them. What about the next day? He won it again! And then the third day, he won it again! It's the opposite. Right? Every day is a little less happy. Every day is a little, why wasn't it me? It goes down. What's the difference? The difference is, if it's me, if I'm into it, if it's happening to me, then the simcha just grows. And it continues exponentially expanding. Moadim l'simcha. Every yantif that we have was given to us, moadim l'simcha, for simcha. For simcha to expand, for simcha to continue. And every day of yantif is another treasure, another prize that we're given. And on the second day of yantif, and on the third day of yantif, many times on the seventh day of yantif, what are we feeling? What are we thinking about? What are you thinking about? Oh, we have an extra day this year that we can't eat chametz. Right? An extra day. Right? But what we should be thinking, unbelievable, we can't imagine this every day. We're supposed to be even greater. Another day with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another day we're close. That's Moadim L'Simcha. That's the attitude that we have to try to have. To try to have, it's happening to me. That's the only way we're going to feel that way. It's not somebody else. We're not standing on the side. Moadim l'simcha, when it happens to ourselves. And that's where Rav Dessler writes, G'dolei Torah, the Ovdei Hashem, throughout our history, G'dolim, our greats, have felt that way. Story is told, Chassam Sofer's daughter, after she got married, so before Pesach, she told her husband, Chassam Sofer's new son-in-law, you can't look at Abba, at the Seder. What do you mean you can't look at Abba? Can't look at him. He's like, no, you just can't look. You can't look into the stage. Just to let you know. Okay. You can't look. So he says, okay. So he comes to the Seder and he tries to look at his father-in-law and his face is shining. He couldn't look. It was glowing. It was on fire. Chassam Sofer was somebody who was Moadim L'Simcha, who had the attitude of every single day of Yantif, every single experience of Yantif, the Simcha expanded, the Simcha was more. And Rav Dessler says that's the attitude that we have to have at the beginning of the Seder, at the beginning of Yantif. That is hopefully something that we will all be able to enjoy. Again, the Marma Komus will be up online after, and just meanwhile, I'll just share if there's not enough. Okay. Now let's get into the actual Seder, Kadesh. A couple of years ago we mentioned the thought, just to remind ourselves, Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, why do we need these simanim? Let's just do it. We don't declare what we're going to do on any other, right, on Yom Kippur. Shachris, Musaf, Nila. We don't have a song, and then we get up to it, we stop and pause. We don't do that in Shul, maybe if we did, it wouldn't be strange to us, but only at the Seder. What a Kaddish Urchatz. So Rabbi Sender, in one of his Haggadahs, one of the commentators' Haggadahs, he writes, says, if you ever take a trip, You take a trip and you go and you take a trip to a certain country and then you wake up in the morning at the hotel. He's like, oh, what should we do today? Oh, let's go to that place today. You call, oh, they're only open on Tuesdays. Oh, let's go to that place. Let's call there. Oh, no, you had to make reservations. They're sold out. And you go here and you go there. If I don't have an itinerary, if I don't plan out before I go every single step of the way, every single moment how I'm going to capitalize, so then I'm going to lose time. I'm not going to be able to appreciate it and use it in the best way possible. If I plan out, then I'll know, okay, this is tomorrow, and this is the next, this is what I'm doing now. That's how I get the most out of my trip. The simanim are our itinerary. We plan out. First stop is going to be Kaddish. Then we'll go to Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, Magid. And we go step by step. And knowing what's later on will help me appreciate how to prepare myself and not jump the gun. And appreciate every tachana, every step of the way. Kaddish, Urchatz, Karpatz. And we know the goal is Nirtza. The goal is Merutza LaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as long as we have our itinerary at the beginning, we can hopefully get the most out of the evening. So we start off with Kaddish. And this year, we're zocha to have an extra long Kaddish. An extra paragraph. Yom HaShishi. It's Friday night. So let's say a thought that we're the Haggadah's Gedolei Yisrael, Gedolei Yerushalayim. Source number two, quotes a lot, Rav Zalman Meltzer, Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, Rav Shlomo Zalman. We'll have two thoughts, I think, from this Haggadah tonight. Here's a thought at the end of Kiddush. We say every Friday night, but this year it's in this year's Kaddish. Asher Bara Elokim Lasos. Vayishbos B'Moshvi, we say the whole Vayachulu. And what does the last phrase mean? Hashem rested. Asher bara Elokim la'asos. That Hashem created to do. What is that extra word adding? Asher bara Elokim la'asos. Asher bara Elokim. Read the beginning of Vayivarech Elokim. It's Yom HaShviv. Vayikadish Hazo. Kivo Shavas Mikol Molachto. Asher bara Elokim. He rested from all the work that he created. What's the extra word la'asos? We've said it so many times. What are we supposed to be thinking? Hashem Baruch Hu came also, as we see on the side, right side. Acharei Brias HaOlam Vashlamas Maisa Breishis Ayideho Elokim Hatzivi LaAdam Hu Lasos. Hashem created the world, Maisa Breishis. Right at the end, the Perek Aleph of Maisa Breishis, Hashem says Lasos. Now it's time for you to do. Now it's time for you to take over. I did everything I have to do, but now it's time for you to be creators and you to perfect the world and for you to accomplish. I can't do everything. I can go up to a point. Like the Gemara says, one of the names of Hashem is Shakai. Sha'amar la'olam dai. Hashem said, die enough. This is what I'm doing. Everything else is up to you. We mentioned in the past the Sefer Achinuch, who writes on the mitzvah of Bris Mila. Why didn't Hashem, if he thought that we should be circumcised, didn't he just create us circumcised? Just finish the job. Unbelievable. Nisim and flows. He gave us a liver and kidneys and lungs and a heart. So just take off that little extra piece of skin. What does he have to do for us? Says the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Beis by the Bris Mila. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, At Kana, then you do the rest. Lasos. That last step, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, now it's up to you. And that's what we say at the end of Kiddush every Friday night, including this Friday night. Shabrola Kim Lasos. It's up to us. Kodesh Baruch Hu did Yitzias Mitzrayim, he did everything. But now it's up to us to do the next step, to accomplish, to be productive, to be Mekadishim Shemayim in our lives and throughout the world. At the end of the paragraph, Olamdeinu, She'oz hi eis lasos, U'maschil tafkido shel adam lasos. Now starts man's tafkid. Hein lefo klape chutz, v'litzar ba'olam, v'gam lasos ala hashlim es atzmo. Mitzad chutz, outside, and also within himself to perfect himself. So Kaddish this year, we start off with a message of self-perfection. Urchatz, continuing. Again, a question that's asked in many Agadas. We're not going to answer it, just to remember the question. Why is this the only one of the simanim that starts with a vav? Kaddish, Urchatz, Vikarpas, Viyachat, doesn't say that. Only Urchatz has a vav. And what's the difference between Urchatz and Rachza? Why is one Rachatz and one Rachza? We discussed that 2 years ago. Question's not for now. But why are we doing Urchatz anyway? Why are we washing our hands now without a bracha? As we know, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that We do this because Bizman HaMikdash, when people were makbid on Tumah V'Tahara, they washed their hands before eating a wet fruit or vegetable. Because they might make it tameh. Detail in Tumas Ochlin. The Taz on Shulchan Aruch is very upset at the Minag of Karpas. Very upset. So what are we, hypocrites? We're doing it tonight, we don't do it. 364 nights of the year. So one night we do it? Says of Shlomo Zalman. No, we're not hypocrites. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went above and beyond for us tonight. So we go above and beyond for Him. He went beyond the call of duty. He could have just taken us out. No! Esther Makos, Yad Chazaka, Zroa Netuya. He did unbelievable things for us. Says of Shlomo Zalman, we pay him back, so to speak, in kind. On the bottom, Alkein, B'chol Shana V'shana, Roy Lahadur Lahachmer B'lai Lazeh, B'chol Achumers V'hidurim, all the Hidurim that we could do, Af Im Einonu Machmir B'hem B'chol Yimos HaShana. It's not a question of, I'm going to do this the whole year. Kodesh Baruch Hu, you did something very special for me tonight, and out of a recognition of that, I'm going to do something very special for you tonight. I'm going to talk about what you did for many hours, and I'm also going to do what they used to do Bizman HaMikdash, but we're not Makbid on, but I'm going to do it tonight. Because I want to show that I'm going to go above and beyond as well. Karpas. Here's the one repeat. But it's something worth repeating. I think I originally heard this thought from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein. I think that was the original, can't say for sure, but I think that's where it originated. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Pesachim, you have it on the next page, Maseches Pesachim, Daf Samachei Mebeis, Tana, Kol Echad Ve'echad Nosein Pischo Ba'oro U'mafshil La'achorav. Bizman HaMikdash, when Bnei Yisrael had the Beis HaMikdash, so remember, we mentioned yesterday, the busiest day of the year, in the Beis HaMikdash was Erev Pesach. Every Jew has to eat of a kezias of the Karban Pesach. So everybody had their Karban Pesachs. Not everybody had to go. So let's say we'd all go to Yerushalayim. We'd stay in we'd go to a rented apartment. Be here, hotels, and that. So one, the father would go, take some of the kids, go to the Beis HaMikdash, have his Karban Pesach shechted, and then bring it back to the family, and that night they would eat it. The Gemara says, how did they carry back their Karban Pesach? From the Beis HaMikdash to, you have to eat in Yerushalayim, to the places where they were staying, they used to put it in the skin. They skin the animal. They used to put it in the skin, throw it over their back like a knapsack, and walk back. Imagine the whole Yerushalayim, everybody's walking around with these carbon Pesach knapsacks, going back to their hotel room. Mashallah Cholov. That's what the Gemara says. Amar Rev Ilish Tayos. Rev Ilish says, Tayos. What does that mean? Tayos, Rashi, bottom left, Derech Socharim Yishma'elim Huzeh. This is the way of Arab merchants. Derech Socharim Yishma'elim Huzeh. That's what they used to do, Arab merchants. Why are we acting like Arab merchants on Erev Pesach? What do Arab merchants have to do with the Seder? Socharim Yishma'elim Huzeh. Says the Abarbanel, where it says Gimel. Though it was promised originally by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Bnei Yisrael were going to be in an Eretz Lo Lahem, and the Bris Ben Abasarim was already forecast, says the Abarbanel though, V'sher Yosef Roy Sheni Yechaseu L'Shiftei Bnei Yaakov. Really, a root chait why Bnei Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim in the first place was because of the chait of Mechiras Yosef. Yosef was sold by his brothers into slavery. Klal Yisrael, as descendants of those brothers, had to be sold into slavery. They threw him into the pit. We were thrown into the pit of Mitzrayim. Sheim chatu cheta gedola v'sinas chinam es Yosef acheyem. Because of the sinas chinam, skipping down, ulefi sheim chatu hayem yishuras adin sheyikablo onsham. Chait of Mechiras Yosef is the source, at least in some way, according to the Abarbanel, for the Shibud in Mitzrayim. Says Rabbeinu Manoach, got to fit all the things together, and then we finish the thought. Rabbeinu Manoach, one of the commentaries on the bottom of the Rambam, writes in the Chatzchamitzu Matzah, that is why we dip karpas in salt water. Karpas reminds us of the ksones pasim, and we dip it in salt water like Yosef's brothers dipped his ksones into dam. We can't eat dam. Dam is asur ba'achila. So what do we have to take? Something that's symbolic of the dam. So we dip it, we dip our vegetable, our karpas, into salt water. What does karpas have to do with ksones pasim? Last point to finish. Says Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. Ksones pasim. What is the word pasim? What does pasim mean? Lushen clay milas. It's a lushen of silk, a fancy material. Kimo! What's fancy material in the Tanakh? The beginning of the Megillah. Chur karpas uscheles. Karpas in Tanakh is a lushen of fancy silken material. We take that, we take our karpas. We're not going to eat clothing. Right, so we take that's what this. What do you use for karpas? That's probably the most diversified minhag at the seder. Right, in Marar, you probably use one of two things: do you use the lettuce, do you use the white heart stuff, or the mash stuff? Right, everybody says like three things maybe. Right, what do you use for matzah? Okay, matzah. What do you use? Round, square, machine, hand. Right, but generally, how many? What finger do you dip with? Okay, that's also a machlokas. Right, dance for there, which finger? Wonderful. But karpas is the most diversified. Celery, potato, parsley. Because the point is the name, not so much the content. Karpas. Karpas is lashon klei milas. It's the fancy material. At the beginning of the Seder, we act out something that is the cause of everything we're going to talk about. Before we even start Avadim Ayinu, we do karpas. Not just the Gemara says, why do you do karpas? Because Yisho Atinokos. But getting back to Rav Ilish, that's Tayos. That's why we act like Derach Socharim Yishme'elim Huzeh. We act like Arab merchants because we remember what brought us into Mitzrayim. We remember that's the cause of it all. We did that on Erev Pesach and we do that at the beginning of the Seder. Karpas. Okay, Yachatz in the beginning of Magid, we're going to talk about together. A thought from Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman, a halachic, hashkafic thought, also in the same Agadah, Gdol Yisrael. That's a simple question that many Haggadahs discuss. Halachically, we usually have a concept called Kiddush B'makam Se'uda. Kiddush B'makam Se'uda. Meaning, there's the where, the what, and the when. The three questions of Kiddush B'makam Se'uda. You have to eat in the where, in the same place that you're having Kiddush. You have to make Kiddush where you're having your Suda. Kiddush B'makam Suda. The what do you have to have? At least Mizonos, Hamotzi. And then the when. This has to be in time proximity. I can't, even if I'm in the same place, and I'm going to have Hamotzi, I can't take an hour break after I make Kiddush before I have Hamotzi. So what do we do at the Seder? We'll make Kiddush, and we don't wash for 2 hours. Yes, or Shlomo Zalman, where's Kiddush B'makam Suda? What, you don't need that tonight? We usually assume that you have all the requirements of generic yontif on this yontif. For example, that's why we have three matzahs. Why three? Just have two matzahs. You have two challahs every other day of the year, every other holiday. Why do we have three? Because we know we're going to break a matzah and we still need Lecha Mishnah. So that's why you have, you break one for Lecha Moni and you have an extra one. The Gra says you don't need. But the minhag of Klal Yisrael is to have three matzahs because you need the generic laws of every yontif as well. So here too, ask for Shlomo Zalman. Kiddush B'makam Suda. How can we have the Suda 2 hours later? Says Echitiru, where it's underlined. Hefsik Gadol Shekazeh Bein HaKiddush L'Suda. Says of Shlomo Zalman, there's no hefsik. Says of Shlomo Zalman, when is there a problem with time proximity? That's only if there's a break. If there's a time break, if there's, you're doing something else in between. But what am I doing? Halach ma'anya. For the next 2 hours, I am creating the lechem that I need to make hamotzi on. I'm creating the lechem oni. Lechem oni, poor man's bread. Lechem oni, lechem she'onin alav dvarim harbe. You have to talk about it, to create it. And we're going to talk about it for hours. That's not a half. The Suda starts now. Kiddush is the beginning of the Seudah. The first kos. There's no hefsek. It's all part. Tafkido, first wide line. Shalala Seder, hu lekadesh es halayla hazeh, v'yemkein ha'kol hu emshech lekiddush. V'domeh davar, la'adam, it's similar, he says, to somebody who makes kiddush, b'dveikus v'yarichus yisera. Somebody has such kavan in kiddush, it takes him 10 minutes to make kiddush. He has such kavan, well, that's a hefsek. It's not a hefsek, it's, you know, you're making kiddush. So this is, you're making a motzi. It just takes 2.5 hours to make a motzi tonight. You got a lot to do beforehand. A lot of kavanas that we have to have. And he suggests, maybe that's even why our minhag, some Rishonim don't have this minhag, but our minhag is to break the matzah right away. Right? Yachatz. We break it now. Why don't we just break it later? Why don't we break, just do a motzi and achilas matzah, break it, and then we'll put the bigger piece away for the rest at the end of the meal. Why don't we do something at the matzah right now? Because this is all seudah. This is all, you're already relating to the matzah now. You're not going to eat it for 2 hours, but we're already relating to it. And that's why, botan as a matzah, samach l'kiddush, v'lo mamtinat samach l'su'uda. So that's yachatz, and that's halach ma'anya, and there is no hefsek. According to this, though, it's maybe a good idea not to have so much, you know, other conversations for the next couple of hours. Because the only reason that we're allowed to wait 2 hours is because we're talking about the matzah. We're talking about Pesach. We're talking about the Yetzias Mitzrayim. If we really have a 10-15 minute conversation about something else, so maybe that would be a hefsek. So really we should try to focus on keeping the conversation appropriate to the night. So halach ma'anya. That takes us into that. Manish tana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. Many Mefarshim say that Manishtana is really one question about the Gullus that we find ourselves in today. If you listen again to last year's Shir, last year we talked about the Klayakar, four different questions about the Gullus. But that's what Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer as well says in one of his drushes, that it's all about this Gullus that we're in. Manishtana, the top right, Manishtana Arichus Hagolus Hazem Mikol Hagolios. How is this Golos so different? And he says, I'll give you a mashal. Mashal Amalach Shesarach Beno V'Huchrach Lesita Beis Akela. There was a king that his son did something wrong. He had to throw him into jail. Ki Ein Masu Panim. There's no favoritism. But he sees him in the jail cell. The king's on the outside. He's like, he has such rachmanis for his son. He can't take it anymore. He knows he violated the law, but he can't. He says, he opens the door. He lets him out. He says, I can't. I have to let you out, even though you don't deserve it. I have to take you out. And then, just don't mess up again. Son messed up again. You gotta get into jail again. And now the father sitting on the outside is like, son, I don't know what to do with you. I can't again. It's just not fair. It's not fair. It's favoritism. I can't. You know what? Just take the key. You come out yourself. He throws the key into the cell and he's like, goes behind another wall, like he's just like peeking. Just, you come out yourself. I can't, people are going to talk. You know, I'll throw the key in the back of the cell, you come out yourself. But the son's oblivious. The son doesn't realize that the father threw him the key. He's still at the door. But the key's sitting right there. And the father's like, just take the key. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, we were undeserving. Right? We don't have any zchuyos. Kodesh Baruch Hu had to give us a mitzvah to be osek in. We all have a zara. 49th level of tumah. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no, I can't take it. I have to take you out of jail. I got to take you out. Even though you don't deserve it. What can I do? I have to give you the Torah. So he took us out anyway. But then, right, all the way till Churban Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, we're sent into another galus. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I can't take you out again. I can't. He says, it's not going to be fair. You know what? Here's the key. The key is Torah. The key is living an uplifted, elevated life. Just do it. Ilu shom rishtei shabbosos miyad nigalin. If we would just all together serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, we'd go out. But we're oblivious. We just can't find the key. It's sitting right next to us. He says, that's why, he says, fascinating. Again, not going to read so much inside, to save time, he says, on the top of the second column, Anu mavakshim. Hayer einenu b'sarasecha. Open up our eyes. We're blind. Hayer einenu. Shenuchol ishtamishba. Vata v'yenu l'shalom. And then sometimes we're like, we realize we can't find it. So we just say, Ushvar ol agayim. Break the ol of the goyim. Ki im ein mafteach. If we can't find the key, Hashem, just break the door down. Tashaber adeles mi bachutz v'totien lefei la'ora. Look what he writes 100 years ago, less than that. Ki im ein mafteach tzrichim dynamite chomer nefetz lishbar v'yalkein tov mizeh shetizkru toras Moshe mafteach v'teitzu b'shalom. You know what? Just better to take the key rather than, you know what, by explosions. So that's what the Rav Yosef Nechemya says. Manish tana alayla zemi kol halelos. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the key. We just have to try to make sure to find it and to use it properly. And the answer that we give to Manish tana, which by the way, just based on the measurement in the past, the Aruch HaShulchan is mayor based on the language of the Rambam, that everybody should say Manish tana, even if the children ask. Then everybody says it together. It's the minhag in most houses, because Manish Tana might not only be questions, but also might be a statement of Manish Tana. How unique is this night, Mikol HaLeilos? How special it is. So we should all repeat it as well. That's also part of the answer. And then we get into Avadim Ayinu. Avadim Ayinu, Parah B'Mitzrayim. V'Yotzienu, he took us out. And at the end of Avadim Ayinu, we have the line of the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. The question that is asked in various Haggadahs is, why is there no bracha on the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? So some say there is the bracha of Asher Galanu. Some say it's included in the bracha of Kiddush, the other brachas of the night. So what exactly is the reason why there is no bracha? Again, various answers given in the past. We're going to learn the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes quoted in Rabbi Lau's Haggadah. We're going to have two thoughts from Rabbi Lau tonight. Rabbi Lau's Haggadah on page 7. Where Rabbi Lau says, if your father asks you for a cup of tea, and you say, okay, one second. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hashem, I'm going to show them, b'mitzvot v'tzivanu l'chabed av. Here you go. You give me the cup of tea because God told you to. Wait, what about me? Why don't we make a bracha on Kibbutz Avim? Because it would be formalizing it. It would be as if like, oh, we're doing this because it's a mitzvah. We're not doing this because our parents deserve our respect. Because our parents gave us everything in the world. So you don't make a bracha on Kibbutz Avim because it's inappropriate. It's inappropriate. It would take away from the act. Says Rabbi Lau, quoting the Sfas Emes, it's the same as Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt. What? You need a mitzvah to know that you have to talk about it on the night that it happened? That's a chiddush? Kach ha-davarim Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim, bottom right. Po medubar al ha-kares ha-tova, ha-chrechit, bi-yosa, klapi ha-kadosh Baruch Hu, shotziyana mi-adus l'cheres, mi-afei lo'ya, mi-eva li-yantif. Kachinim b'mitzvah sech, well, you have to say, okay, I'll do it. It's natural. It should be natural. And saying a bracha would just be minimizing it. Similar, we discussed a couple of years ago where there's no bracha on Hallel in the Haggadah, because it's supposed to be, or if Salvechik writes in a number of places, it's supposed to be a natural outpouring of emotion by the end of Magid. It's not supposed to be a formalized, okay guys, time to say Hallel. No, it's supposed to be naturally. We say Hallel, because we can't stop ourselves. So there's no bracha on Sipur, as not to formalize it. And we continue. So we talk about people who are marbe. And we have the story with the five great rabbis, which we spoke about yesterday as well. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, and the various rabbis. So what happens? The Talmidim come and they say, Rabbeinu, Abuseinu, Higia Gizman Kriyashma Shal Shachris. It's time for Kriyashma. And the question is asked, what time was it? What time was it exactly? Was it Nates? Was it like sunrise? So they still have 3 halachic hours to say Kriya Shema. So where are you rushing? What? And it was three. It was Mamish Sof Zman Kriya Shema. It was 10 o'clock in the morning. Maybe, but it doesn't sound that way. You wouldn't think that when you're reading. You don't think they didn't daven yet. You think it's like the morning. So what do you mean Kriya Shema Shal Shachris? suggests Rav Avram Shor in Halacha Balibuv that maybe there's a symbolic meaning to Higiyas Man Kriyas Mashal Shachris, and we shouldn't take it literally. He first quotes a thought that we mentioned in Parsha Shir a couple of months ago from the Egle Tal. The Egle Tal in his Agdama to his Sefer discusses the concept of a Tevul Yom. Tevul Yom, we know, is somebody who is Tameh for a certain amount of time. They go to the mikvah, and they do not become fully tar until that night. First Mishnah in Shas. They go to eat their truma at night. Even if somebody goes to the mikvah in the afternoon, I'm not fully tar yet. I have to wait till nighttime. After nighttime, now I'm tar. Ask the Egle Tal, quoting from his father. He says, why? Why do I have to wait? I already went to the mikvah. Why aren't I tahar right away? I don't have to wait till nighttime for. So he quotes, because I was tameh at the beginning of the halachic day, there's a roshem. And the roshem lasts the entire day. Beginnings and anything that happened today are critical. And because I was tameh on this day, on Dalet of the month, so what? I went to the mikvah. There's still a little shemet. There's still a roshem of the tumah, and therefore you have to wait till the day's finished. Even if I went to the mikvah, I have to wait. That's what he says in the top of the left side. Mikamakom achashaya tameh ba'oso yom nishar bo roshem tumah kol hayom ubarev shemesh sheba yom acher shelo haya bo tumah nistalek harashima. If that's true lagabe tuma, says the Egle Tal, the same should surely be true lagabe tahara. And that is, ukmoshu b'tuma keinu l'masa b'kedusha, kishe makabo omach l'shamayim shachris. When I'm makabo omach l'shamayim in the morning, I say kriya shema in the morning. Last me, what do I have to say? Why aren't I makabo omach l'shamayim by mincha? Why isn't there shema by mincha? We should say shema in the afternoon. Why? Because I still have the roshem of the Kabbalah Somach HaShemayim that I did in the morning. I still have that, and that lasts the entire day. At night, it's a new halachic day. But that's why you don't do it by mincha. Wonderful. Simple question, 1 second. What do you need Shachris one then, exactly? If you do it at night, we just said, if you become tameh at night, that lasts until the following night. So if you said Kriya Shema at night, so why do you have to see Kriya Shema in the morning? It should last the whole day anyway. What, sleep breaks it? Sleep doesn't break tuma. That's the question of the Eretz Tzvi, the Kasha Klover. Lama tzrichim l'kriya shma shol shachris baboker. Lama kriya shma b'layla nishar roshim l'kol yom kulo. So now, steps in Rav Avram Shor. Maybe there's different symbolisms and purposes for kriya shma shol shachris and kriya shma shol arvis. Kabbalah so malchus shamayim at night symbolizes emuna during the dark times. Emuna at night. Or makabbalah malchus shamayim balayla. The emunascha balelos. Because at night sometimes things are dark. And sometimes in different periods of Jewish history things are dark. Kriya Shema Shel Arvis symbolizes our emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if we don't understand something, even if we find difficulties, even if we don't know what to do. Rav Soloveitchik once gave the mashal that the Zman Hazeh is like, imagine you have a fancy tapestry, fancy carpet, and it's beautiful and gorgeous and with all the beautiful pictures. Turn it around. Look at the back of it. What does it look like? It's a mess. You have strings coming out from all over the place. You have. Think, it looks like, what is this? Like, you see, things aren't cut and this. You turn it around, it's gorgeous. But that's Olam HaZeh and that's Olam HaBa. That's the Olam HaEmes on the other side. Sometimes in this world, we just see the back of the carpet. Ufanai, right? Right? Fanai le'iro. Moshe was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parshas Kisisa. So, Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is emuna in dark times. Kriya Shema Shel Shachris is an even higher level. When nothing is even dark to me. When even if it really is dark, but I'm on such a level, which we can't even fathom, but I'm on such a level, so I'm sure that there's clarity of the divine even in Olam Hazeh. Like Rabbi Akiva, when his skin was being scraped off of him. He was still had the attitude of Baruch Hashem. I'm doing this mitzvah that I've prepared for all my life. We can't even fathom that. But that's the level of Kriya Shema, Kabbalah Shema Hashemayim, B'shachris, in the daytime, that things are so clear to someone, that because they feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu so close to them. And that's why it's two different, you say them both, because they're two different emphases of the two Kriya Shemas each day. Says Rav Avram Shor, maybe that's what the Talmidim were telling their Rebbeim. They saw the Rebbeim talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim the entire night. Imagine the aura. If the Chasam Sofer was shining, imagine what these Tanoim, the Amoraim were able to do Tchias HaMesim. You can't imagine what the Tanoim were able, or the Baskols. So the Talmidim come and said, Higia Zman Kriyash Mashal Shacharis. You've reached, we see on your faces, that you've reached the level of Kriyash Mashal Shacharis. The level of clarity of feeling close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that everything fits in perfectly and there's no darkness. You've reached that level. The He'iru, second column, B'tocha HaShecha, B'tocha HaGolus. And remember, this story happened right after Churban HaBayis, Pashtus. V'yigil l'dargo k'yishmo shal shachris, l'hagid baboker chastech, it's all chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the highest level that a person can reach. That takes us through the story of the five rabbis. Amar Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Hari ani kiven shivim shana. I am like 70 years old, and I haven't been zocha. V'lo zachisi shediyam ziyas b'zorim b'leilos. Ashe drasha ben zoma. I wasn't zocha, says Rav Elazar ben Azariah, who is 18 going on 70, right? To say ziyas b'zorim b'leilos. I'm told you, ben zoma darshind. And we know the drasha. Yamim leilos olam hazeh olam haba. So this is the one paragraph in the Haggadah that's about the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the mitzvah every day and night of our life, and not the unique mitzvah of Sipur, which only comes one night a year. The question is, what is this doing here? So some say it's the contrast of the Sipur and the Zechira. They build off each other. But there's just one word that's picked up upon by the Torah Tamima, by the Baruch Sha'amar in his Haggadah. Baruch Sha'amar writes on page 9, what is the, and this is the Mishnah we're quoting, Harani kiven shivim shana, like 70 years old, and I didn't realize, ad shedrasha ben zoma, until ben velo zachisi shetayomer. What's the velo zachisi? I didn't merit to understand this drasha until ben zoma darshened it. Says the Baruch Sha'amar, in the middle of the page, haloshin lo zachisi shetayomer inu mavur. What the language of lo zachisi? Says the Baruch Sha'amar, Lo Zachisi is telling me, every time we hear something in Torah, if we figure something out, if we hear an answer to a question that's been bothering us, sometimes you read the Minchas Chinuch, sometimes you read some of the great Achronim, they say, this question has been bothering me for 35 years. Has anything ever been bothered us for 35 years? Maybe some Hashkafic issues. But like, why Tosfos says this and not that? Says the Baruch Sha'amar, you know why that word is in the Haggadah? To teach me that we have to consider it a zechus every time we hear something in Torah. V'lo zachisi shetayamer yetzias Mitzrayim. And we have to realize, it sounds like from the Haggadah that maybe Ben Zoma was a little kid. He didn't even have a first name. They're calling him by his last name. Ben Zoma. Same with Shimon Ben Zoma. He might have even been younger. Imagine Ramosha Feinstein is getting really excited about a 15-year-old that gives a pshetel at his bar mitzvah. 13-year-old. 15, right? 20-year-old, and he hears that the... He said, that's v'lo zachisi. He was passionate about every word of Torah. That we mentioned in the past in various contexts. Fascinating Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef writes, there is a minug, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that one should remove the knife from the table when one benches. So knife on the table, remove it when on benches. The Shulchan Aruch says, maybe you don't need to do it on Shabbos and Yontif. No, none of us wash during the week. The olden days, they washed every meal. But who washes? Except you have pizza. You're not using a knife anyway. But if you have, other than that, yeah, that was a different shiur. Got to wash on pizza, yes. But anyway, so that's the Shulchan Aruch quotes. What's the reason for that? Why do we have to remove the knife? So, 2 days, Mr. Baruch quotes this Beis Yosef, two opinions. One is that, because the table is like the Mizbeach, which is Marach, the life of a person, and a knife is Makatsu, the life of a person. The Beis Yosef then quotes a second day. I think he quotes it from the Rabbeinu Simcha. Rabbeinu Simcha says because there was one time in history, 700-800 years ago, where somebody got so upset about Churban Abayis, Uvnei Yerushalayim, Rechad Me'er Ve'Meinu, he was so distraught that there was no Beis HaMikdash, he took the knife and he stabbed himself. And that's why we have to take the knife off the table when we bench. That's a Beis Yosef. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it. Asked the Baalei Mussar, because there was one crazy guy in history that took the knife and stabbed himself during benching, so forevermore we have to take the knife off of the table? No. The message isn't that there was some crazy guy. The message is that there was somebody in our history that was so passionate about Beis HaMikdash, that's what we remember. Because what are we passionate about? V'lo zachisi sheteyamer. It's a schus, as we spoke about yesterday. It's a schus when we hear the answer. When we connect with the divine. When we rack our brain to try to figure something out. He was so excited when he heard this drasha. So excited. That's the schus that he felt. Okay. So we move on now. Baruch HaMakom. Getting into the Dalet Banim, the four sons. Baruch HaMakom is a lead into the Dalet Banim. Two thoughts on the Dalet Banim. Famous question we've dealt with in the past, but this year we have two new answers. What's the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha? We jump on the Rasha. The Rasha says, Mo Avodah Zos Lachem. What is this Avodah? We say, oh, you said Lachem. Terrible. Right, you excluded yourself. We knock out his teeth, whatever that means. And the question that in almost every Haggadah is asked is, but the Chacham also excluded himself. He also says Eschem. So what's the difference? So we mention, many Haggadahs say, here the Chacham mentions Shem Hashem, and the Rasha does not mention Shem Hashem. Maybe that's one difference. We spoke about the symbolism of that in the past. Two new answers, at least for us. Number one is given by Rabbi Lam in his Haggadah. Rabbi Lam writes, the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha is that the Rasha, the difference is between responsibilities and privileges. The Rasha's asking, what's in it for me? What is this Avodah? What does Judaism give me? Does it make me feel good? Does this mitzvah give me something? Do I understand it and it's going to be inspiring to me? That type of attitude. What is in it for me? That's a rush. Mahavod azos lachem, kafar be'ikr. The Chacham says, what can I do for God? And he quotes, what are you all thinking? JFK. Right? He quotes, the question is not to ask what our country could do for us, but we could do for our country. Kederach Rabbi Lam. Nobody can say it like he does. But that's exactly the difference. So many times, Rachman al-Islan, in our generation, youth, or even older than youth, we have the attitude of, what is this? Does this fit into my life? Does this fit in? This is what I want to do. And does this fit in? No. What is God? What could God do for me? No, what could I do for God? I think I mentioned last week in the drasha in shul, the Chafetz Chaim was once overheard speaking in his room later in life. One of the Talmidim, we're out of the room, he hears the Chafetz Chaim singing. He's talking to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Hashem, he says, you've done everything for me. What have I done? He says, you let me write the Chafetz Chaim. You let me write Shmiras HaLashon. You let me write the Mishnah Berurah. You let me write Avas Chesed. You let me write it. You gave me everything. What have I done for you? I haven't done anything for you yet. That's the attitude of a Chacham. Privileges versus responsibility. We have to say, what does God want from me? Not what does Yadus have that fits into my life and I get out of. One difference, Chacham and a Rasha. A related but separate idea is said by the Panim Yafis. Panim Yafis, the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer, the Baal HaFla. In the back of Shmos, I think it is, I think in the back of Shmos, in the Panim Yafis, he has a couple of pages on the Haggadah Shal Pesach, and he also talks about the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha. And he quotes, maybe the difference is as follows. Relating to the uniqueness of Nasa Venishma. Third line in that paragraph. V'ha'inyan. Ki midas eved ne'eman kishemitzuva lo rabo lasos lo yishal oso tam adover. What is the definition of an eved? What's the definition of a servant? Says the Panim Yafis, somebody who does and acts for the master, even without understanding. The most famous example of this is the Akedah. Hashem says to Avram Avinu, kill your son. Avram's thinking to himself, one second. Last week Hashem told me that this is the son that I'm going to build a great nation with. This is the son that's going to go on for generations to come. And we're going to have children like the stars and the sands. Did I just hear right? Did he just tell me to kill my son? Avram doesn't say a word and he does it. And he does it b'simcha. Vayashkim Avram baboker. And I think we quoted in the past, the unbelievable ha'ara. He got up in the morning, he was able to sleep the night before. Vayashkim Avram, the three most amazing words that I find in all the Torah. Vayashkim Avram baboker. He woke up in the morning, which means he was able to sleep the night before. If we ever have a difficult day coming up, we can't sleep. Vayashkim Avram baboker. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do this? That's it. I'm doing it. No questions. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't kill him. Okay, so now I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Hashem, can you explain it a little bit? When we do mitzvos, after we do the mitzvah, okay, we try to appreciate it, the tamei ha-mitzvah, the taste, but the mitzvah is the mitzvah separate from the reason. Our commitment to God is not based on understanding and appreciating. If I understand it, I'll do it. If not, not. The Chacham says, Maha Edis Vachukam Asher Tziva, he's trying to understand. He's doing it. But after he does, he's like, what are these? Let me try to appreciate these mitzvos. The Rush's attitude is, Maha Avodah Zos Lachem. What is the avodah that you're doing? I don't understand it. I don't like it. That's not called commitment. And related to this is the beautiful thought that I once heard from a Refrain Waxman. I'm not sure who he was quoting. Quoted the Sifri in Zos HaBracha, where the Sifri says that famous Sifri, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes around to all the other nations of the world, offering them the Torah. Yishmael, you want the Torah? Well, what does it say in it? Lo sinaf. Forget it. We do that all day. Hey, Esav, you want the Torah? What does it say? Lo sirtzach. We do that for a living. What are you talking about? But it goes to all the other nations of the world. But Esav, you want the Torah? Nasa v'nishma. We'll take it. Question is asked, what did God think? He said, you want the Torah? What's written in it? Hashem should have said, all these nice mitzvos. Hashem picks the one that he knows that they're going to refuse it because of. Like somebody calls up for a shidduch. You know, tell me about her. Ah, she's not so, she doesn't have such good midos. Family's a little crazy. This and that. But yeah, go out with her. It's fine. What kind of crazy? Does the Kodesh Baruch Hu want to make the shidduch or not? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you want the Torah? They say, what's written in it? Let him say some great things. What, he dafka picks the one mum? No. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, do you want the Torah? They say, nu makasavba. The second that they say makasavba, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm not interested. What, you're committing to me based on what's in it? You have to understand it, and then you'll decide whether you want the Torah or not? Lo sirtzach. Lo sinaf. But in Israel, you want the Torah? Nasa v'nishma. We'll take it. No idea what's in it. That's commitment. That's the Chacham. I'll do it. Whatever I could appreciate and understand afterward, that's fine. Chacham versus the Rush. Okay. Moving right along. Again, we can spend the whole night on the Dalai Banim. But Yochel Mei Rosh Chodesh. I might have thought that the Mitzvah of Tzibris Yisrael starts on Rosh Chodesh. Tam Alom Arbayamahu. I would have thought, Ibayamahu, Yochel. Maybe, oh, yo, no. Only B'shashi Yishmatzu Mor Menachal Fanecha. So there's a Hava Mina that we would have the mitzvah of CBT as Mitzrayim start before Pesach. Kamash Malan, no, you only started on Pesach. So what's the message of this paragraph? I would have thought, no. You can only talk about CBT as Mitzrayim on Pesach. Or Sternbach writes in his Agada, here on page 12, there's a big difference between philosophy and religion. Philosophers could talk a lot about ideas and issues, but it doesn't demand behavior. And it doesn't translate into mitzvos. And you can have a lot of very unethical philosophers. A religious person, everything translates into mitzvos, into actions. It's not just philosophizing and talking about it, it's doing it. I might have thought that CBT is Mitzrayim. Let's talk about it. No. Wait till you have mitzvahs in front of you. Matzah u'maror munachin lefanecha. That's the message of Yadus. Talk about it, but concretize it and crystallize it in Maisa Mitzvos. And that's why we don't start talking about it beforehand. We prepare. But the mitzvah is when we have mitzvos in front of us to focus on. Right? It's lo masmik ladaber b'neflos habori. It's not enough to talk about how great God is, but it's to act for Hashem. Right? Ka'ikro l'targim is a oris, shol al pesach, me'anisim b'neflos, v'gam l'mitzvos ma'asios, etc. Moving right along. Again, I'd be good so far. I've been trying to stay with the text, not getting, not reviewing any in the past, but we have a lot here, so we're trying. Mitchila over the Avodah Zarah, hayu avoseinu. Originally, our forefathers were over the Avodah Zarah, the Acharkach, the Chuldu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. So this is based on a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in Maseches Pesachim, whether we all know that there's a halacha that we have to start off talking about our low state, maschil b'gnus, u'misayim b'shvach, we have to end with the shvach, with the praise. And as a machlokes, do we focus on the physical, avadim hayinu l'par b'mitzrayim, or do we focus on the spiritual, mitzchil al d'yavada zara hayavaseinu? So we do both. We do avadim hayinu, and we do mitzchil al d'yavada zara hayavaseinu. We do the physical and the spiritual, but it's really a machlokes. The Haggadah Hashir v'Hashevach, which is Rav Saratzkin, the Aznayim LaTorah's Haggadah, in the top of the page, he quotes this machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in Kuf Tes Zayin and Pesachim. Rav says, Mitzchil Avdei Avodah Zarah Hayavaseinu, and Shmuel says, Avodah Mayinu. Ask Rav Saratzkin, it sounds like Shmuel is saying, Dafka Avodah Mayinu. That's what you say. They're each exclusive. Why would Shmuel say that? What's the machlokes about? Sounds like Rav, you should say Rav. What does Rav say? Start with the beginning. Mitchil of the Avodah Zarah Yavaseinu, which is way, way back, originally. And here we have Avadim Hayinu Laparo. Why does Shmuel say Avadim Hayinu? Suggests Hashir Vahashavach, suggests Rav Saratzkin. Tonight we're focusing on what God did for us. Maybe what Shmuel is saying, interestingly, as we spoke about yesterday, the two geulos that we went through, we had a Geulas HaGuf and a Geulas HaNefesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of the physical bondage. But we were the ones that did tshuva. We were the ones that came close to Him. So maybe Shmuel says we could de-emphasize that. Because that's what we did. That's not so much what Hashem did for us. That's what we did. We did tshuva. We worked. All the way up, Maimon Har Sinai. 7 weeks later. So maybe that's why Shmuel holds that the focus of the night being is what God did for us, focusing on the physical. Avadam ayinu l'paro. What about Rav? Rav says, no. Mitchil avdei avodah zarah hayavaseinu. Why? And that's why we have this paragraph. Because no matter what we accomplish in life, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping us. And there's nothing really that we do ourselves. It's all me. Kochi vosam yadi. Asam liyasachai alazeh. Even if we do tshuva, obviously we have to feel good about ourselves, and there's a self-confidence we have to have, not in an arrogant way, but we have to feel good about our avodas Hashem, and if we do something appropriate. But says Rav Saratzkin, maybe that's what Rav says, that's what we hold. That we have to realize, even if we accomplish something, and we have a lot to do with it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also helping us there. And therefore, we not only focus on what Hashem did purely, Avadam Ayinu L'Par B'Mitzrayim, but we also have Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avoseinu, we also focus on the spiritual. Baruch Shomer Haftachasoli Yisrael. Baruch Shomer, next two thoughts are both Mishalem. Baruch Shomer blesses HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who kept His promise, and He took us out when He was supposed to take us out of Mitzrayim. But we know it was 400 years, the promise, and He took us out after 210, unless you calculate from the birth of Yitzchak Avinu. The Dibne Magid gives a mashal. Dibne Magid gives a mashal on page 14. This is from the Haggadah Otros HaTorah, of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how He was able to take us out earlier, so to speak. Gives a mashal. Asher Echad Asa Mishneh Gadol. There was a king that had one mivashelet. So one woman always prepared for all the king's banquets. And the king gave her all the raw materials and all the ingredients and said, make me all the food for my meal. And this woman was a chachama. So she took her time. Because as long as she was being oseket in the preparations, she nibbled a little bit here, she took some home for her family, she took some home for her kids, the fire wasn't on too high, right, she kept it low, so, you know, she took her time, and that's how, but the king, you know, is his regular, and the king was fine with getting his food in the end. This is what happened. One time, the mother had to go out for something, so she just told her daughter, you know, just like, mind the kitchen. The daughter walks into the kitchen, sees the fire on very low, sees all the ingredients. She's like, maybe I'll help my mother out a little bit. She makes the fire on high. She throws all the ingredients together. Boom, 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 boom. Does it quickly. Her mother comes home. She's like, what'd you do? She's like, I finished. She's like, you finished? It was supposed to take me another 2 weeks. I can't believe you. You made the fire bigger? You did everything? Says the Dubna Magid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had plans for the Jewish people. We were supposed to be subjugated. We were supposed to be in the fire. In the low fire, on a low flame, we were supposed to be cooked in order to produce Klal Yisrael. But the Egyptians were mocked of the fire. The Egyptians turned up the heat. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you turn up the heat, you don't get to nibble. You don't get to take home anything for yourself. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, he told the Mitzrayim to do something. Right? That was the Bris Ben Abasarim. But they were mocked of the Eish. They were mocked to the fire, and in that way, allowed us to come out earlier. Baruch Shomer Haftachas El Yisrael. Hashem kept his promise. And the promise was just made earlier because of the fire that was created. And then we get into something, it's not in your packet, because I heard it Mipi Hashmua. I didn't see it anywhere, but I heard a thought in the name of Rav Rivlin, from Kerabi Avne, on Vehisha Amda. Vehisha Amda, Lavaseinu Valanu, many, many pshatim, what is Vehi? Does Vehi mean? We mentioned maybe it stands for Shisha Sidre Mishach Emir Shichem Shetorah Aseret Sedibros and Hashem Vehi Shamda. Others say the Meshach Chachma says Vehi is we lift up the cup. That's when you cover the matzahs. It's not magic and like cover the matzahs, uncover the matzahs. We don't know what to do. Whenever you lift up the cup, you cover the matzahs. Simple, right? If you're not lifting up the cup, the matzahs are uncovered. Lechem Oni, we're labeling it like Rosh Shlomo Zalman said before. So we lift up the cup. The Meshach Chachma says the cup. What does the cup of wine symbolize? Wine is the symbol of all the dinim derabanan that have kept Jews and non-Jews separate from each other. Stam yenam yayin nesach. And we acknowledge that it's all the derabanans that have kept the Jews going throughout history. Because if we look throughout history, any time the Jewish people, any group of Jewish people threw away derabanans, they were not Jewish 50 years later. The Reform, the Karaites, just go through history. They're not Jewish. You throw away Darabanans, you're going to throw away Daraises. You throw away the first thing, right? First thing the Reform movement threw away? Yukum Perkon. That's all it. What are we saying this Aramaic tefillah for? That nobody knows what it means anyway. Right, and Shabbos morning, let's get to Musaf already. Yukum Perkon. That was the beginning of the slippery slope. So the Durabanans, Vehi Shamda, Vehi, we lift up the cup, it's the Dinim Durabanans, Chazal, and infinite wisdom. Vehi Shamda, Abbasin of Alanu. But there's another thought. By the way, the Pshuto Shel, these are all drushes. The Pashas is Vehi, is going on the previous paragraph. Vehi, the promise that Hashem made that He's going to redeem us, that's what redeemed us, Shalach HaDovad. But there's another Pshuto Shel Mikra that Rabbi Rivlin gives a mashal for. He says, imagine there was a king. And the king says, if anybody violates this edict, they're going to have to get a boulder thrown on them. Boulder thrown on them. Two people violate. A stranger and the king's son. So the stranger is taken to court, violates, chayev, okay, the boulder's thrown on him. The son comes to court. The king's like, oh, what am I going to do? Doesn't know what to do. The son violated, and the king, this is the boulder, this is the law, what am I going to do? There's one advisor that says to the king, wait, I have an idea. If you break the boulder up into a lot of little pieces, and you just throw a little piece on your son each moment, each time, every day, you're fulfilling that he's getting a boulder thrown on him. Right? So you never said it at one time. He's getting the boulder thrown on him in little pieces, and that's you're fulfilling your edict. You're fulfilling the law. The kachav, and that's what the king does. Every day he throws a little bit of piece of the boulder on the sun. Mela, the sun lives. V'hi sha'amda l'avoseinu v'lanu. V'hi sha'amda, what is it? We're all chayiv. Right? Every generation that doesn't have the base on Migdash means we're committing the same crimes. We don't have to think so far and think so hard that there's sinas chinam in the world today amongst Jews. We're doing the same things they did 2,000 years ago. V'hi sha'amda. So we're all chayiv. But the godless and the chesed of Hashem is shelo echad bilvad amar l'alechen alseinu ela b'chol dar v'dar. Every generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, splits it up. Rachman al-Islan, sometimes there are big chunks of the boulder that come down on us. Sometimes there are big chunks. But there's never such a big chunk that decimates us. And there's never a big chunk that just wipes us out totally, that breaks us. Am Yisrael Chai. Shelo Echad Bilvad, that's the V'hi Sha'amda, keep reading. Shelo Echad Bilvad, the fact that every generation, it's split up, Ad Bias Goel Tzedek. That's what kept us going. Say ulamad. Go out and learn. See what Lavan Harami did to Yaakov. Okay, again, we've spoken in the past. What's the big deal about Lavan as compared to Paro? The Lubavitcher Rebbe in his Agada talks about the word say. What's the word say? Just say ulamad. Learn. Let's go out and learn. Say ulamad. Go out and learn. Mabikish Lavan Harami. What's the say? Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that word say is hinting to us about an attitude that we have to have whenever we open up a sefer. Especially, I might add, a sefer halacha. And that is, and this is about, we're about to start the Talmud Torah section of the Magid, all the drushes of the psukim. Many times we open up a sefer and we learn something and we're like, no, that can't be. I've never done that. No, that's a chumrah. That's, I don't know, who says this? Who's writing this? I'm going to ask my rabbi. Ah, he's also wrong. Right? So we all think that we have preconceived notions of what we think is correct and what we think should be the halacha and what we think Hashem wants. And then we learn something or we go to a shir and I'm like, oh, really? So if we change and we modify our behavior and we change, no matter how old we are and what stage of life we're at, that shows something. But if we're like, no, come on. That's not, I've never done that. I've never seen that. It's wrong. Tsei ulamad. Whenever we go and learn something, we have to say, we have to go out of our preconceived notions. We have to go out of our assumptions and have an open heart to try to appreciate what is the emes. What does Hashem want from us? Tsei ulamad, ma bikesh. In halacha, in hashkafa, sometimes maybe we're incorrect about something all of our life, and Baruch Hashem, we learned something. Tsei ulamad, tsei. We always have to go out. Okay, now we get to the psukim. Okay, I'm going to skip maybe one. Go straight. Okay, we'll finish basically on time. Two thoughts on the psukim. And the psukim before we get to the makas and dayenu. Two thoughts on the psukim. What pasuk is this? The following thought we mentioned in a parsha shir about a couple months ago in parsha shmos. The end of perek beis. And this thought is really best appreciated if you have a chumash open in front of you. So if you want to say this over, you can read the psukim. At the end of perek beis, right before the story of Moshe and the snare, it's about to happen. There's a pasuk that says, Vayeda, right, the Bnei Yisrael cried to Bnei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears their cries, Vayeda Elokim, and Hashem knew them. Said the Ksav HaKabbalah, it's very unclear what those two words are telling me, Vayeda Elokim. The first part of the pasuk, I don't have it in front of me, the first part of the pasuk says that Hashem, they cried to Bnei Hashem, Hashem heard their cries, and then it says again, Vayeda Elokim. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, and again, it's Pshuto Shel Mikra. If you open up a Chumash and we realize it, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, these two words are an introduction to the entire story of Geula that was about to unfold, starting with the Sneh and Moshe and continuing. He says in Pasuk Chafei, right in the middle, Hamikras Asum, Kilo Zachras, Miyada, Vayeid Elokim. Who's Yeda? Ve'im Shaval B'nei Yisrael and Iskar, if it's going on the Jews, it should say, Vayeidaim. They knew him. He's about to reveal himself. Says the Ksava Kabbalah, Vayeida Elokim means the entire world is about to know God. God is always, and he says it beautifully, you can read it inside, Hashem is always there. It's just sometimes we don't appreciate him. We don't catch it. When we wake up in the morning, Rav Pinkus points out, the first word we say every day is Mode, not Ani. Ani is the second word. Mode is the first word. Mode Ani. Because the first word I say is an acknowledgement that I'm only Ani because I'm being Mode. Vayeda Elokim, this is the beginning. Everybody in the world, Vayeda is singular on everybody in the world, is about to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayeda Elokim, and he, meaning he, the royal he of humanity, is about to know God, because now is about to start the most miraculous time period in the history of the world. Vayeda Elokim. Feel free to look at the Ksav HaKabbalah's own lashon. A connected thought. Connected thought, I put these two together this year. Later on it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. B'yod Chazaka v'zroa netuya. Says Rav Dessler, second Rav Dessler tonight. Yesh b'nei Adam, top of the page. Hakovlim al miyut hisgalos Hashem shebizmanenu. There are people that complain on the lack of divine revelations in the world. If there were only miracles today, then I'd believe. If there was a miracle, I'd believe. Right? That's what he says. But he says it's a mistake. Because we find throughout history miraculous events and people still not believing based on the miraculous events. We have to look no look further than Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, Paro. Imagine Kriyas Yamsuf. You see the most unbelievable miracle. Wow, what a strong tide today. It's amazing. Again, we mentioned before, Vashem Avram Baboker is one of the most amazing psukim in the Torah. I'll tell you another one of the most amazing psukim. And they went, Mitzrayim Nasim Likraso, where they went, they followed them. What, it just happened? Hello? God splitting the sea? You could have the most miraculous event. Eliyahu Navi, when he was on Har HaKarmel, or just a couple hours from here, and the Nevi'i HaBaal all day, they davened and davened, nothing. And Eliyahu Navi is about to get a fire brought down from heaven on his soaking Mizbeach. And he's about to prove to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only God. And what does he say? Aneni Hashem Aneni. Please answer me. What does the Gemara Bracha say? Aneni, please let there be a fire brought down. Aneni, let them not say that it's not a fire, min HaShemayim. He's davening that people should realize that it's a miracle. It's a fire from heaven going to come down, burn up the whole Mizbeach? Eliyahu HaNavi knew. What about 20 years ago? 39 Scud missiles at Eretz Yisrael. Not one person dies directly. One missile goes off course. It's terrible, death of anybody. But kills 120 soldiers in Saudi Arabia. There are miracles b'zman hazeh. We have to realize the point of life is not to see a miracle and then be inspired by God, because that doesn't work, and also it doesn't last. Am Yisrael, Kriyas Yamsuf, right, Har Sinai, Chayta Egel. It doesn't work, and even if it works for a moment, it doesn't even last. So when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us, B'yad Chazako, B'zroa Netuya, says Rav Dessler, of course, miracles are wonderful. B'yad Chazako, B'zroa Netuya, but that's not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our everyday, just like we had before, Vayeda Elokim. Moving right along, Makos. One thought on the Makos. Okay, hopefully we finished 15 minutes. Bli Neder. They say, you know that story, that the Rav was once giving shir, and I forgot what day, they quote the story, and the 3 hours, 4 hours. He always gave shir for hours, but there was one time that he was like kept going and kept going, hours and hours and hours. And somebody passed him a note, Rebbe, you're going to miss your plane. So he said, well, yesterday I said we're going to finish the Tosfos, and I didn't say Bli Neder. say, I can't say, they're like, well, Rebbe, just say, just finish it. No, to him, you can't just read the Tosfos and say you did the Tosfos. Finish the Tosfos. That's not called finishing the Tosfos. So, I think Rabbi Billet told over the story. So he said, for the rest of the year, whenever the, see, he was Matur Neder. He was Matur Neder. You got three people, he was Matur Neder. So he said, for the rest of the year, whenever he said something, they're going to do tomorrow, the whole shiur said, B'li Neder! B'li Neder. Anyway. So. Anyway. Makas Bechoros. Makas Bechoros. We have a number of mitzvos throughout the year that help us remind ourselves of Makas Bechoros. Number of mitzvos. Three mitzvos specifically that we could talk about relating to firstborns. We have the firstborn son, Pidyon HaBen. We have the firstborn kosher animal, Bechor Behema Tahora. And we have the firstborn donkey, the only non-kosher animal that has something to do with. Bechor Behema Tahora and Bechor Chamor. Question is, why a donkey? Out of all the non-kosher animals, a donkey is picked, why any? So there are various reasons given. The first paragraph of Maseches Bechoros, the Gemara discusses it. The Meshechachma likes a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi writes in Shkalim, Atem, Shal Rabbi Akiva, it's Rabbi Elazar, Manish Tano Pitcher Chamorim, Yerushalmi Shkalim, Atem Machartem Bechoros Shal Rachel Be'esrim Kasef, Af Atem, Tenu Ba'ad Bechorchem Chamisha Shkalim Esrim Geira. Connecting somehow Mechiras Yosef. They sold them to the Arab merchants who were on donkeys. And somehow that connects to the Makas Bechoros, the firstborn donkeys. We have, says the Meshechach Mavu Pella, Im Nenshu Avor Zeh, if this is a punishment, if this mitzvah, to have to give, what do you have to do? You have to take a firstborn donkey. By the way, it's a mitzvah bizman hazeh. Right? If anybody owns a donkey, you don't need to base some English for this. Jews don't really own donkeys. But if a Jew owns a donkey, some Jews own sheep. But you have a donkey. So if a donkey has a firstborn, okay, take it back. Baruch Hashem. So if you have a firstborn donkey, you have to switch the Kedusha onto a sheep. You give the sheep to the Kohen, and then the Yisrael keeps the donkey. Says the Meshechachma. One second. If this is somehow connected as an onesh to Mechiras Yosef, so why do Bnei Yosef have to do the mitzvah? And who do they give it to? The Kohanim, they're the perpetrators, Bnei Levi. Right? Shimon Levi was the one that sold them in the first place. So what's the connection between Mechiras Yosef and Makas Bechoros, and why is it, what's the message for us? Says the Meshech Chachma, an idea that's said in various contexts, we don't only thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the salvations. Odecha ki ani sani vatehi lilishua. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the whole process. We might not realize it at the time. Al hanisim, v'al haporkon, v'al hagvuros, v'al hateshuos, v'al hamilchamos. No, I'd rather not have it. No, we thank Hashem, that's also part of, we thank Hashem for the entire process. The milchamos too. V'kasher tavo tzara la'adam, v'yinatzel mimena b'yishuas Hashem yizbarach. When there's a tzara, chmanu atzlan. Remember, we only see the back of the carpet. Ein zeshinu echad l'beretzoni yizbarach. When we have a tzala, it's not any change, God decided. It's a gili, Hashem thought this should happen, and then this should happen. We remember, and we realize that Shibud Mitzrayim was something that we needed to be born as a nation. And even though it was terrible and tragic, we know that it was all for our benefit. And when we remember the end of the process, Makas Bechoros, we also remember the beginning of the process, going down to Mitzrayim. And he quotes Psukim when they brought down all of their riches laden, Parshas Mikates, Vayigash. It's all on chamorim. It's all on donkeys. As if to say, when we remember Makas Bechoros, we're remembering the Shibud as well. The going in, and not just the going out. Dayenu. Every line of Dayenu could be discussed. I just wanted to mention one point that came up in the Parsha Shir and Parsha B'Shalach, an amazing Arachayim HaKadosh, which could fit into one line of Dayenu. Ilu Kara Lanu Es Hayam V'lo Ha'aviranu B'socho Becharava. If he would have split the sea and we wouldn't have gone through, Dayenu. That's probably, I don't know, probably in the top five lines of Dayenu. Probably the biggest question is, if you brought us to our sea and didn't give us the Torah. Okay, that's number one. But if you would have brought us to the sea and split the Yam, but not taken us through Dayenu. Why? Says the Archaim HaKadosh, on the Pasuk, when Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu at Yam Suf, remember the scene, they're surrounded on all sides, they have the Mitzrayim, and they have the Yam, and they're stuck, they don't know what to do. They say, Moshe, do something! And Moshe says, okay, Hashem, what's going on? Help us! What does Hashem say? Ma titzakilai. What are you crying to me for? What are you crying to me for? As the Archaim HaKadosh, what else does a Jew do at a time of Tzaras? What are you crying to me for? It's up to you. What do you mean? It's up to you, God. The Rechaim says an unbelievable thought, quoting a Medrash, the 10th line or so. She Yisrael hayinusunim bedin maf elu af elu. At that moment in time at Kriyas Yamsuf, it was not clear what would happen to the Jewish people. V'davar yaduahu ki koach harachamim umaisim tovim asher yaseh ha'adam lamata yosifah kofinis harachamim. And the only way that something could change in Shamayim is if something changes down below. And look what he says. When Moshe says to Hashem, do something, Hashem says, and only the Rechaim could say something like this, Ein hadavar talui biyadi, hagam sha'ani chafetz asos nes. I want to give you a nes, but I can't. My hands are tied. You're of the Avodah Zarah, you're of the Avodah Zarah. Kibet she'emein amr uyim. So what's the only thing to do? Zo sa'etza ha'yehutza lahagber tzadachesed v'arachmim dabera b'nei Yisrael v'yis'atzmu ba'emuna b'cholibam v'yiso el hayam. Even in a place when tefillah will not work, emuna will work. What are you davening to me for? Jump into the water. Dabera b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. B'nai Yisrael, starting with Nachshon ben Aminadav, but they followed him. They had also took an unbelievable emuna. You're going in, who says the word is not going to jump, fall back on you in a minute. That emuna is the level that was reached at Kriyas Yamsuf, which led to the Nes. That brought about the Nes. Maybe this is the pshat of Dayenu. Ila kara lanu es hayam. The level that we achieved at that moment of emuna, that would have been enough. The God, the closeness that we felt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is such a level, that's Dayenu. That would have been enough. Okay, four more thoughts. Pesach Matzah Maror. Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer. After Dayenu, Pesach Matzah Maror. Just one thought on matzah or drush. You could say this at the meal too. By the way, you're allowed to give these Divrei Torah by the day meal as well. And Chutz La'aretz by both day meals. You have the Heter. You're allowed to talk about it then too. Says Shalom Shradron in his Haggadah. Matzah al-shum ma? Al-shum, right? It says, of course, the Pasuk, Ushmartim es ha-matzos. But he just talks about the drush on that Pasuk. Shmartim es ha-matzos, Chazal say, al tikri matzah el ha-mitzvah, al machmitzin es ha-mitzvos. Not only do we have to, if anybody has the schus of baking matzahs, in a rush and focused and you can't stop, and 18 minutes, you got to get the stopwatch and focus it. Same thing by mitzvahs, say Chazal. Al machmitzin es ha-mitzvos. You have an idea, you do it. You get up, you do it. No procrastinating. Don't be machmitz the mitzvah. V'nei b'pashas on a mafarshim on top. Shelo yachmitz adam es maisa mitzvah v'lo yishtah basiyasa. Do it as fast as you can. But says Rav Shradron, how many times do we find, many times we're into it, we're excited, we do so much hachana, but then finally when it comes, during the mitzvah, we're finished. Many times we're not machmitz, but we have to remember not only not to be machmitz before the mitzvah, but not to be machmitz during the mitzvah. V'yim kein, hayitachen she'echad yahadev yisyageya be'esa ketzira, u'b'chal esa hachana le'mitzvah. He cuts, he harvests, he bakes, shmir kavala she'matzah, u'b'vo asiyah atzma, elafiyah, yasiyach daikov, yechol u'tayel, no! Mamashu Adover Kam B'Shar Mitzvahs. On many mitzvahs, he quotes Shabbos. He says many times, people the whole week, Duagimim, they're worried about Shabbos. They remember Shabbos. They buy things. They prepare. And Da'aka, when Shabbos comes, Mishema Mit'almin Himi Yikarashal Shabbos. Chotmas Atzvila, Achiwa, Ochem Lishon. We spend so much time preparing for Shabbos. And Shabbos comes, we eat and we go to shalom, we go to sleep. We prepare for it. We're not machmits the preparation. But then what about when we do it? We make ourselves crazy over the next week with all the preparations. At least let's try as best as we... Sometimes we're just exhausted. You know, but as much as we can, to help each other not only to be to shmira on hachanis ha-mitzvah, but shmira on the actual mitzvah. On the bottom, he says another example. Pamim rabos, nitan lahafkin banashim, hamalim nimrasos, lefnei tchilas hazman, lefnei tchilas slichas, misrakshim, miskonim, we're excited. And then once it comes to it, we're like not into it during. We have to try to do our best to be into it even during. He quotes tefillin, shofar. He says it's the derech of the Yetzer Hara. You know, oh yeah, I'll let him get into it. But, you know, when it comes time to do it, I got him. I'm going to make it. They're going to be tired. They're going to say, oh, I've been thinking about this too much. So that's what he says in the middle of the next page. Libshoches adam lo hotzias ha'islavus al ha'agdomis ma'achonis. All the islavus will be in the pregame. You can hit home runs in the pregame show. But like, if you strike out during the game, you miss the point. Doesn't count. Right? You have to play the game. You gotta play the game. Shmartam es ha-matzos, shmartam es ha-mitzvos, not just the hachana, but also the actual mitzvah itself. And we end off Magid with Lefichach. Lefichach, b'chol dor v'dor, we have to feel like we left Mitzrayim, Lefichach, anu l'hozos l'halo shabeach, Hashem took us out. Me'avdos l'cheirus, me'afeilu l'argodo, v'chulu. Says, this is in the Haggadah Torah Ladas. Not in the Haggadah, in one of his svarim, Rabbi Bloom. He writes, just a ha'ara, another detail that we have to realize, that we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Yesh b'vayr, yadua ma'ashakazav ha'ramban. The Ramban writes on Vayofeg Libo. When Yaakov Avinu was told that Yosef was still alive, basically had a heart attack. Yatza nishmaso. Nisbad libo paska nishmaso. Ki paska tnuas alev anasa kemes. Kadosh Baruch Hu did chiyas amesim. Yadua. Ki bavola adam simcha baofan pitomi. Yalev nirchav niftach peta pitomi. If there's a sudden simcha or tzara, it goes in both directions, we can't handle it. You have to have it shlav shlav. V'achiyas ha-toladi yotzeis. V'lachena zakenim v'chalushi koach. Those who are weaker, those who are elderly, even have less chiyus, and therefore they're more prone. Rachman al-Litzlan. And he quotes the Zohar HaKadosh also. He quotes other examples. So he says, when we went out of Mitzrayim, remember, chipazon, it was boom! We had a little anticipation, but we really didn't know what it meant. We really didn't know. It was me'afela l'argadol. It was darkness to light in a second. It was darkness to light. But all of Klal Yisrael was safe. Nobody was affected negatively. Another detail of the story that we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. It was sudden, and yet we were all okay, and we were all fine, no matter how old we were. And then we have our Seuda. We have then the Magid, Gal Yisrael, some of the minhag of eating eggs. We have our Seuda. The Shlach HaKadosh says it's the only meal the whole year, which is surrounded by Hallel. Think about that, about the type of meal that we have to have. We start at Hallel, we're in the middle of Hallel, the whole meal. We finish Hallel afterwards. But we bench. Rabbi Lamb, second Rabbi Lamb of the night, has a thought from the Rav on benching. And he quotes that we know Jewish law declares that after we partake in food, we have to recite a blessing of Bracha Achrona. And generally, we bench, right? We have the shortest Bracha Achrona, Bari Nefashos, and then we have Berchas Me'ein Sheva on the seven special foods, right? What did I say? My main Sheva. I'm thinking Friday night. Okay. Main Shalosh. Mein Shalosh, right? So the bracha Mein Shalosh, which we say, a bracha achrona, on the special Shiv'at Taminim. But, the Rav pointed out, again, it's not obvious, but it's the Ha'ara, only on one of the Shiv'at Taminim does bracha Mein Shalosh not suffice. You need the Shalosh. You don't need the bracha Mein Shalosh, and that is bread. Right? You don't have to bench on a pomegranate. You don't have to bench on a date. And yet, said the Rav, it's the only one that is not ready as it grows. Right, an olive, you could, a fig, a date, a pomegranate, pick off the tree, a grape, just pick off the tree and take a bite. Wheat, right? That's where we do. We make it into bread. And that's where we have to give the longest benching. The longest bracha achrona, it's like just the opposite. Where the most human input is, that we should, that's what we did a lot here. No, Hashem, you made these grapes. Awesome. Right? That's what we should, we have to bench even more. It's the opposite. Says Rabbi Lamb, quoting the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, maybe the message is, relating to what we said about an hour ago, and that is, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing us to put in hard work. And making a strong effort. And that is something that the Rav said, and Rabbi Lamb expands upon, which is sorely lacking in our society today. The realization that hard work is a privilege and what God demands of us. I'll just have to read a couple of lines from Rabbi Lamb, because nobody could say it like him. The importance of this principle can hardly be overrated. Indeed, we are not always sympathetic to this doctrine. Whereas America was settled and developed on the basis of an outlook which cherished work for its own sake and discouraged any form of laziness, we moderns pride ourselves that we have been emancipated. The realities of our society and our economics are such, we worship at the shrine of the shortcut. Honor and glory and riches await the man who could find the way to save one step in any of our many industries, or devise one small procedure in how to save work in transportation or communication. The exact case, before we made Aliyah, I remember we can't take the microwaves, different 220, whatever it is, so we had a Pesach microwave. And I was talking to another colleague in back in the Five Towns, and I was talking about different things, but Aliyah and I had mentioned this, Derek Agha, I remember that we had this extra microwave. He's like, oh, we don't have a microwave. I said, you what? I said, yeah, we don't have a microwave. I said, so how do you warm up noodles? He says, whenever you know you're going to have noodles for supper, you take it out a couple hours before, you leave it on the table, and you have it at room temperature. I'm like, you don't have a microwave? So we most of us can't live without a microwave. But I can't. Why am I going to put it in the oven? You know how long it takes to warm something up in the oven? Come on. You know, time is money. Come on. You know what? We spoke a couple years ago, Shabbat Shuvah Drasha, we can never do one thing at a time. Right? If I'm in the car, not on the phone, it's just I'm wasting my time. Right? I can't. What do you think? I make my phone calls. I have to be doing, and I'm on the phone at home. I can't. I have to be doing three things at once. Right? Says the Rabbi Lamb. Right? This society is not about, we look for shortcuts. This is not to say that some work as such, we're not against shortcuts. We're not against microwaves. But our problem is that we have confused work with effort. We assume that just as we ought to seek to shorten the load of work, so must we be exceedingly sparing with the expenditure of personal effort. If we shorten our workload in certain areas, if we don't have to schlep down to the river to take a shower, if we don't have to, you know, go to the bathroom somewhere out, so what, we could relax and we could be lazy? No, that just means we have to work hard, and we have the schus of working hard in other areas. We say the longest bracha on what we have the most input in. On the wheat, that's what we bench on. What a Kaddish Baruch Hu get, we don't do anything? Kaddish Baruch Hu, you're great. We make a bracha main shalosh. But we have to remember what life is all about. Adam la'amal yulat. And just to end off with one final thought, back to Rabbi Lau's Haggadah. Chad Gadya. And I suggest this one not be said when you sing Chad Gadya. Unless the only people still awake are the people who would want to hear it. But, says Rabbi Lau, what's the message of Chad Gadya? And Ad wasn't added, obviously. It's not as old as some of the other parts of the Haggadah. Some of the parts of the Haggadah are 2,000 years old from the Mishnah. Manish Tan is in the Mishnah. Avadim Ayinu. Some of the Haggadah are Psukim. But even the part, the Tanitic that we have. Says Rabbi Lau, life is a puzzle. And many times, all the time, I should say, we only see one piece of the puzzle. We don't see everything. Imagine, right, what about just yesterday? Yesterday was today. I don't know, Shabbos. One of my kids was doing a puzzle. And they took out the pieces, but, you know, all the boxes are ripped. So they take out the pieces in a plastic bag. Oh, where's the picture? I want to see the picture so I can do the puzzle looking at the picture. How can you do a puzzle without looking at the picture? I have no idea what it looks like. So what if I look at two pieces of a puzzle? I have no idea. Every generation, every situation that we're in, we see three pieces of the puzzle. That's what life is. We see maybe the water. We see the cat. We see the goat. We see, Rachman al-Islan, sometimes we see the Malach HaMavis. We don't see the whole picture. And in Mitzrayim, they might not have seen the whole picture. Right? You see babies being thrown into the river. But we believe, says Rabbi Lau, that life can only be understood. Sometimes we get little insights into something that happened years before. Rak mi sheyesh lo mabal la'achor, retrospectivi, ro'eh as a puzzle. Eich hadvarim mitgabshim, mishtalvim zeh bazeh, u'makavlin et mimad v'mashma'us. And he quotes a story, we quoted JFK before, he quotes another story about Colin Powell. He quotes, when Colin Powell was a little boy growing up in the Bronx, he was a mail boy. He brought the mail to different people's houses. And he writes that, well, let's tell the story this way. Start again. After Colin Powell was already Secretary of State, so when somebody, a friend of Rabbi Lau, he says, walked into him to meet him in Washington, and he walks in, and Colin Powell turns to him and says, "Oh, v'smach siyid." He said he almost fainted on the spot. He says, "Excuse me?" He says, "Oh, you want to hear my story?" So he says, "Let me tell you." He says, "When I was growing up in the Bronx, a little boy, I was a mail boy, and I used to bring the mail to different people." And he says, there was one Jewish couple that was always very nice to me. And they always gave me food. They were always very nice to me. And I guess they saw that I had a certain knack. They saw I had a certain, you know, wisdom, and they paid for my education. I was a poor guy, I didn't have anything, they paid. They paid me through high school, and I made a promise to myself that I would never forget the Jewish people. And that's why when I became Secretary of State, and when Saddam Hussein invaded, he says, I said I have to protect the State of Israel. We only see one part of the puzzle. But it could be that 30, 40, 50, 60 years later, Kadosh Baruch Hu is laying the groundwork. That's Chad Gadya. At the end of the Seder, when we've spoken about everything, and we've had ups and downs, and we've cried, and we've laughed, and we've been through all the emotions, hopefully, we've been through all the emotions, we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chad Gadya, we recognize that life is a puzzle. B'pi etzeh anu nefradim ilel HaSeder, b'bitui lakach, Shachadish Baruch Hu is the Asa Kadosh Baruch Hu v'shachal amalach amavis. We know that's the last piece. That's the last piece. You know, sometimes when you do a puzzle, you're missing one piece. It's like, oh, that's the generation we're in now. We're missing Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We're missing that last piece. U'mishal lishkam aseyu. He says that's what we daven for. We daven for the day Asa Kadosh Baruch Hu that comes at the end of the Seder, and we acknowledge and we declare. Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we daven. Please fill in the puzzle, complete the puzzle, help us understand everything, and let the next Seder, let us not just have an Afikomen as a Zecher LePesach, let us have an actual Pesach with all Bnei Yisrael in Yerushalayim. We're going to daven Ma'ariv, and if anybody wants to do Mechiras Chametz right after, I'm here.